Scripture reading for this evening is in 2 Samuel chapter 23, beginning at verse 1. 2 Samuel 23, beginning at verse 1, reading through verse 7. Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, "And the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said, The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, The Rock of Israel spake to me, He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. And he shall be as the light of the morning when the sun riseth, even a morning without clouds, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. Although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. But the sons of Belial shall be all of them as thorns thrust away, because they cannot be taken with hands. But the man that shall touch them must be fenced with iron and the staff of a spear, and they shall be utterly burned with fire in the same place." Here ends the reading of God's word.
Dear congregation, with the help of the Lord, we want to preach the gospel to you. According you find in 2 Samuel 23, verse 5. 2 Samuel 23, verse 5. Although my house be not so with God, yet he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire, although he make it not to grow. We write above the sermon of this night an eternal covenant, and feel, children, on your forehead, what's there? There's written the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, by which you are separated from this world and belongs to his covenant people. There is the seal and the sign of his eternal covenant. Never forget it. Touch your forehead often and show it the Lord. Lord, here's thy name. Let thy name be written in my soul, in my heart. Create in me a new heart and a new spirit, so that I don't have only the sign and the seal, but a matter, thyself. I am the Lord, thy God. An eternal covenant. Our first point of attention is the wonder. When we listen to David in his last words, we feel the amazing grace. Amazing. He is filled of the wonder. Although my house be not so with God, yet he has made me. It's a song of glory. It's a song of deliverance. The wonder is growing and growing. It's far more great then in the beginning of his spiritual life. Now he is at the end. And he feels the reality and the sureness and the happiness of that great eternal covenant of grace. An eternal covenant, the wonder. And then we consider the contents. What does that really mean? This covenant. And to belong to this covenant. What is it? It's very important for us to know that, to realize that. Also for the young people. And then it will be clear that it's not enough to have the seal and the sign. But to have the reality. And to have the real experience of it. By the working of the Holy Spirit. The contents. And then in the third place, the delight. The desire. For the word which is used here, for this is all my salvation and all my desire. It fills all my wishes. This wonderful covenant. Now I am partaker of it. And now I need nothing else. Nobody else. Such a delight. All his desire is focused on this covenant. Another time, for you, my dear children, an eternal covenant. Covenant. The wonder of the covenant, the contents of the covenant, and the delight in the covenant. Dear congregation, do you often think about the last day of your life? Look back in the week which is passed away. How often did you think at the last day of your life? Children, did you think about it? When you awake in the morning, do you sometimes think this can be the last day of my life on earth? Don't think about it. Who is saying that? The devil. The devil. I'm young. I will not die. That's what he was telling us in paradise. You shall not die. You are young, you are healthy, you are strong. Don't you worry. Don't think about that sad things. That's the devil. That's not God. That's not the word. That's not the truth. For the truth is, you shall die. I remember that your old pastor, Pastor Veldman, told me once this story of one of his children. That one of his children came to him and said, Dad, I should like to become converted at the last day of my life. The last day. Then I want to be converted. Well, said Pastor Veldman, why the last day? Well, then I can live my own life, my whole life. Then I can do all what I like. And yet I go to heaven. And then the pastor asked his child, but when do you think? When shall be that last day? That's the problem, Dad. I don't know. What is the Lord Jesus teaching us? That we must be ready now. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next year, not when you are old, but now. That's what God has given you, my young people. Now, this day. You cannot be sure of the next day.
And when you are all the time saying, not now, then you are not ready when your last day is there. Then you are deceived. Now it is the time of grace. Now you must be saved. Now you must accept Christ. Now you must embrace him by faith. Now you have the opportunity to seek the Lord while he can be found now.
And the devil is teaching us, not yet. We have the time. And we don't have.
David, he is a very touching and nice example of a man who feared and loved the Lord his whole life. You see that by example in Psalm 22. When you should ask David, David, when are you converted? When came the great saving change in your life? Then I shall read you his answer. A very beautiful answer. I don't know a more beautiful answer. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Is that not beautiful? That's one of the most beautiful things in the Bible, I think.
That can. When a mother expects a child, that's a beautiful thing. And that she is so wrestling with the Lord for the salvation of that child, that by faith, she receives the sureness, my child is a child of God. My children, you know another example of the Bible, isn't it? Of people who feared and knew the Lord from their earliest childhood, even before that.
John the Baptist, when he met the Savior in the womb of Mary, the child was jumping up of joy.
Not Elizabeth, but the child.
So David, he was the man after the heart of God. But now he spoke out his last words. And he is in his last moments. Within short time, he shall go over from time into eternity, as we all shall do.
From time into eternity. And then is there visible the great eternal difference. Eternal saved. Eternally filled with the love of God. Totally filled. Or eternal lost. Eternally lost. Or that endless, terrible word, lost for all eternity. And therefore it's so needed that we are ready, that we seek the Lord. And the Lord is calling us, seek the Lord while he is to be found.
And now, David is really the happy man.
God's people is always happy. When you are a child of God, you are really happy. You are the only happy man. You are the happy child. You are the happy girl. You are happy. But there are many times in your life that you feel the opposite. Isn't it? And the burden of your sins is bowing you down. Your cry, oh Lord, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. I am the chief of sinners. You don't feel happy. But you are happy. And you feel happy when the Lord fulfills your prayer, isn't it? read Psalm 32. It's the life of David. It's the life of every true child of God. Or there can be many moments that we feel so unhappy when we are far from the Lord. For the same psalm which I read you, Psalm 22, there the same David is crying here, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Oh my God, I cry in the daytime, but I hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. What makes a child of God happy? The presence of the Lord in his heart. His loving kindness, which is better than life. His peace, which surpasses all understanding. That makes a child of God happy when he receives that blessings in wonderful experience. Then he can miss everything and everybody. I have enough. But when we miss these things, when we enjoyed the nearness of the Lord, and we are so far away now. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? David, it is not true. The Lord shall never forsake you. The Lord shall never forsake his people. He shall never forsake you. But you are a prophet, and you had to sing this, seeing, looking unto Jesus. He was forsaken by his God. He couldn't utter the name of Father. He had to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was truly reality in his life. And therefore, the Lord shall never forsake his people. All many temptations, many bad times David knew in his life. So many persecutions, so many hate of people. But now he's at the end. And now he is at the end of all misery. And he is a happy man. He is not only a happy man. He feels his happiness. For the sun of righteousness is shining brightly over his soul. It's all soul full of God, full of love, full of peace. He gave such a wonderful witness. Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. He shall be as the light of the morning when the sun rises. The sun of righteousness is shining upon his starting bed. Heaven is open. Christ is visible by faith. And love is filling his heart. A happy man. My dear young people, want you become a happy man. Walk in the ways of David. Call on the God of David. Cleave to the God of David. Only the Lord makes you happy for all eternity. And all what is outside the Lord makes you eternally unhappy. And therefore the Lord Jesus is warning us all the time. Don't be worried about the things which pass on. But seek first the kingdom of God. Seek it now. Seek it in your youth. Seek it. Now there is the time of grace. And don't say, I have no time, I'm too busy. With what? David is at the end. And so all we shall come at the end. Very soon. For what is this short time compared with eternity? Did you ever feel that? I am on the way to eternity. I am on the way to meet God. Within very short time, I shall stand before my Creator, who knows everything, who was always there, who knows me till in the deepest of my soul and thoughts and feelings, for whom I cannot hide anything. I shall stand before God, but there is no fear in the heart of the man of God, not at all. There had been a lot of fear. He had his struggles, temptations, and fears, very much. Read his Psalms, 116, 31, 38, 51, and so on. But now it's all peace. Now it's all past. Now is the reality there. The reality of God's loving kindness and presence. And then he feels in his last words and moments so much the wonder. For my dear flock, there is not a greater wonder in human life than to be saved, than to be a child of God. Nothing in this life and in this world can be compared with this one thing. And there are sometimes times in our life that it is possible for everybody, but not for such a sinner as I am. Oh Lord, can such a sinner as I am ever be saved? That will be the greatest wonder. And yet it happens that the Lord reveals his forgiving love in Christ in your soul, that the Lord brings you in the liberty of the gospel, that the Lord gives you the joy of his grace as a living reality. And then it's through that wonderful song, Amazing Grace, for such a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Eternal wonder. And the wonder of salvation is growing in the life of God's true people. In the life of many so-called Christians, well, it's nearly normal. I believe, I'm saved, I'm happy, I go to heaven. Of course, God is love. But what is lacking? Listen rightly. What is lacking? The wonder. The wonder. But you don't hear the wonder. It's not true. For grace is so amazing. To be a partaker of God and his heavenly inheritance, it's such a wonder. It's known from John Bunyan, when he was in his last moments, that he said, all the clocks of free grace shall be heard in heaven when such a sinner as I am may enter. It's such a wonder. It can never be comprehended. It can never be understood. It's such an amazing wonder. And the more we grow in grace, the more we grow in the knowledge of ourselves, the more we seize the depths of our guilt and sin, and the greater is the wonder that such a sinner as I am truly saved and shall enter into eternal glory to come to the goal. David, he comes to the goal like a heart is panting and thirsty for God. So my soul is thirsting for thee, the living God. When shall I come and see him? Oh, that thirsty soul, you know. And now he is so fully satisfied with the love of God in Christ. Now he is aware that within short moment, all his wishes shall be fulfilled. All his thirst shall be cleansed. That he may drink from the waters of life into all eternity and perfection. Happy man! Happy man, only a child of God, a true child of God, is a happy man. What we
see here, in the witness of the prophet David, is the great contradiction. And we consider that. For he says, although my house be not so with God, my house, that's his whole household of which he is the head. With the house, my house, he means in the first place himself, my family, my children, yeah, my whole household, all my life. Also, my house be not so with God. When he is in his last moments, he has a very clear view on himself. The Lord is always working to show us ourselves, not only in the beginning of our conversion, but all the time more and more and more and more. To grow in grace is to grow in humbleness. To grow in grace is to grow in the knowledge of your own sinfulness. When Christ becomes more precious, we go down. He must increase. I must decrease. That's the way in the kingdom of God. And David, he decreased. Not with God. Although my house be not so with God. I wished it. It is the desire of my soul. That my house is fully, totally for God, everything for God. But it's not the case. Do you feel the sorrow in it? Do you feel the pain in it? Do you feel that pain in your own heart now? That's the pain of every true people of God. I want to be perfect. That my own self, my children, everyone for which I am responsible, may be with God. That's the wish, my dear children, of your parents when they are God-fearing. Don't hurt them like the children of David really did often. Don't hurt your parents, but appreciate that godly desire. Although my house, myself, when we look to his ancestors, Rahab, his foremother, a harlot. Rahab the harlot. Such a mother. Another foremother, Tamar, the daughter-in-law of Judah, who did very evil and clean things with her father-in-law. And let's go farther. Eve, Adam, your father, my father, your mother, my mother, David's father, David's mother, who left the Lord, who became so rebellious against the Lord, who wandered away from the Lord, not with God. That's the wish of every natural man. That's the reason that also children, young people, don't like it to go to church. That they think the sermons are so long. They have no pleasure in it. They have pleasure in all kind of things, but no pleasure in God. My children, there must come a change that you have pleasure, delight in the Lord, in his word, in his people, in everything what's his. David, by grace, had such a delight in the Lord. But when he looked back, seeing his own life, then he confesses so painful,
not so with God. So many sins, so many terrible sins. Adultery with Bathsheba, a murder, Uriah. Terrible, terrible sins. Not so with God, my life. Sometimes so proud. Let us number, let us count the people. I want not to know how great I am.
No, no, king, said Joab, don't do that. I'm the king, not you.
And so he went on. Not so with God. When David comes at home with the Lord, he cannot offer the Lord a clean life. A life with so many terrible sins. A life with so many things which witness against him. That when the Lord should do according his merits, it was lost forever. And that's what he deeply feels in his last days, in his last words. And that's what the Holy Spirit is teaching a sinner all the time when he is dealing with you in a saving way. Then you become nothing, 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 but a lost sinner. No merits in myself at all. The opposite. Not so with God. And when you see his family, his children, when you see his married life, so many wives. The Bible is honest. Many wives. Not a happy marriage. Not a marriage according to the word of God. His married life was a witness against him. And then his children. His eldest son, who committed such a terrible sin, incest, with his own sister. And then Absalom, his darling son, who killed his own brother. All these terrible things happened in the life, in the house of King David. Can such a sinner be saved? We are inclined to say no. When I know a person who killed a man and who took his woman, when I know a family where these terrible things are happening, well, I don't want to have any contact with such kind of people. I'm better. Do you think so? Yes, you think so. As long as you are unconverted, as long as you don't know yourself, then you are better than other people. But when the Lord is working savingly in your heart, all things are changing. Lord, all the evil things of the whole world are living in my soul. I am inclined to all evil. That's the confession. That's the experience of the true people of God, friends. We must all agree. Although my house be not so with God, there is no reason, not any reason, in any man for salvation. There is all reason in every man for damnation. Do you say yes with your whole heart? For as long as you don't say yes, you are against God, against your own salvation, and you don't want to be saved by grace only. That makes the big difference in the great day of judgment. Lord, we prophesied in thy name. Lord, we did wonders in thy name. Lord, we go away. I don't know you, you're workers of iniquity. But the Lord's people comes at home crying, and the Lord shall wipe away all their tears. My house, not so with God. By grace there was the deep desire, but there was so much against it. In my heart, in my life, in my thoughts, in my lusts, in my married life, in my church life, in my ministry, everything. It's not so with God. That's the experience of the true church. Till their last moments, that are the poor in spirit, you know. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for they shall inherit the kingdom of God. Why is David so amazed? What's the reason of his salvation? Do you know the reason of your salvation? Do you know it? When you are saved, you know it, more or less. The first reason is the eternal, unchangeable love of God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, by which you was drawn. I'm the first one, I'm the last one. The eternal choice of God. Election. Election. That's a beautiful word. That's the comfort for God's people. That's not a matter for unconverted people. That's hidden. You cannot work with that. It's not allowed either. I know that the devil misuses election and says, well, when you are not elected, you cannot be saved. What you do, nothing is helping. That's the opposite of what the word is teaching us about election. Election is for the comfort of God's people. When you belong to Christ, when you know I'm saved by grace, then you know I'm saved only by God's choice. It was his choice, not mine. For I never should have chosen him, never. But he chose me. And his choice is a staying choice, is an eternal choice, is an unchangeable choice. All when we rest in the eternal electing love of God, then we have such a sure foundation of salvation. Election is the comfort of God's people. What's the reason, David, that you are so happy now? By election, we can see in the heart of God. We can read with eyes enlightened by the Holy Spirit, I loved you with an eternal love, and therefore I have drawn you. I love thee with an eternal love. You have not chosen me, I have chosen you. And when you can see and believe that for your own soul, then you are so sure. Then it's so bright. Then all doubt is away. My salvation is founded in God only. Why, David, can you tell us a little bit more about it? That you are so quiet now, that you are so happy now, that you have no fear and doubt now in sight of death. Tell it us. Well, David should say, my salvation is also founded in the perfect righteousness and sacrifice of Christ only. All what I did wrong, he did right. And all what I committed, all my sins, are forgiven and all cast behind the back of God, because he paid my debt, because he suffered my hell. And therefore I can be so restful, so quiet, so happy in the view of death, because Christ paid everything. He satisfied the rights of God the Father, and he is my complete and full Savior. For he is the man of the covenant. He is the angel of the covenant. He is the only one who can save us and can take away all our sins and bring the true peace of God in our soul.
But then we have another question for David. David, can you tell us, how can you believe that? How can you believe that it is also for you? For so many of God's people struggle with that question. They are looking for Christ. They are seeking for salvation. But they are so doubting. Is it really for me? Am I not too sinful to be saved? You are not. You are not.
David should say, I'm far more bigger sinner. Oh, if you knew what's in my heart, what's in my life. Not so with God, not at all. But I'm saved by grace, free, sovereign grace. I'm saved by the blood.
But how can you know it? That it was for you, David. Well, that's the sweet work of God the Holy Spirit. He showed me myself. Nothing in me but sin. And he showed me the beauty of Christ. And he enabled me to embrace him. And Christ became so precious for my soul that there came a full sureness and happiness in my heart. All the time, again. The first time and all the time repeating. All the time that my soul was looking unto Jesus, I got liberty. I got peace. I got happiness. Jesus only. So my salvation is founded, says David, in his covenant. And that's our second point. The contents of that covenant. Yet he has made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things. He has made me. You know maybe that the Arminians are teaching, I have made with thee. That's a teaching from hell. That's a teaching which is totally the opposite. And as long as a man believes in this Arminian doctrine, he cannot be saved. Then you are the first one. Then you must be the last one. And I can tell you that you are lost for all eternity. But when God is the first one, he will be the last one. And you will be saved into all eternity. David sees very clear, it's not my work. That can be the fear also in the life and experience of God's people. That can be the temptation of the devil. And David, he knew what the temptations were. So many say of my soul, thou hast no salvation with God. It's all thine own work, it's all your own imagination, it's... O Lord, speak upon my soul. I am thy salvation. And the Lord did. My sheep hear my voice. So unexpectedly sometimes. Always undeserved. Then his word comes with power to our soul. And comfort our heart. With the sureness of salvation. He has made with me. He was the first one, not I. He has made with me an everlasting covenant. You know, my dear children, from your catechism's class, I think, that there are two covenants. A breakable covenant and an unbreakable covenant. And the Lord created us in paradise. He made with us a breakable covenant. The covenant of works. By our works, by our obedience, we could merit
salvation. We were in the state of salvation. And we could stay in the state of salvation in the way of obedience only. But we broke it. And every sin is a new break of that covenant of works. But as long as we are unconverted and have not the Spirit of God, we are always thinking and living out of that covenant of works. Also, when we have a sound doctrine, but all religions and all religious people are in the roots the same. Take a Muslim, he wants to merit his salvation. Take a Roman Catholic, he wants to merit his salvation. Take a man, a boy, a guy of Providence Reformed Church, he wants to merit his own salvation. And he thinks, well, I'm such a bad sinner, I cannot believe. When I was better, when I did better my best, when I prayed better, when I did more, maybe I had a chance. But now I fear not. That's the covenant of works. That ends in hell. That ends in death. That's not the way. That's the way to destruction. That's the way of pride, religious pride. That's the way of the Pharisee. Lord, I do this. Lord, I give that. Lord, is it enough? I will do more. And the Lord may say to you, thank you. It's the opposite of salvation. It's the deceivement of the devil. The covenant of works, that's not what David is speaking about, not at all. For when he had to go the way to eternity, found it on this covenant.
All people can be sure. You can meet people in the last moments and they say, well, I lived a good life. I did no evil to everybody. I have no reason to fear. People, the devil makes people very quiet. Look, example to that man in the Pilgrim's Progress at the end, you know. I hope you all know the Pilgrim's Progress. You must read that. You must read that again and you must know that. That's such a precious book. But at the end, there comes a man to Christian. And he says, well, I believe I'm a good Christian. I do my best for God. Of course, I'm not perfect, but nobody is perfect. But I have a good hope on salvation, that the Lord will accept me. And then Christian was teaching that man in a very honest way. Do you know something about a new birth? Do you know something about the true experimental knowledge of Christ? Do you know something about the application of the blood to your soul? What are that kind of things? So many churches in the Netherlands, in America, you don't hear about the things. We are all saved. We are good people. We believe. But the essential things are not heard and known. And so the souls are deceived for all eternity. And then the man comes on the river of death. And he is so glad he can sing. And then there is a man who takes him over, idle hope. Hoping in vain is his name. And so he comes over that river and he expects to be received in heaven. But then he is bound and cast out in hell. And then the last sentence of the book is, then I saw that there is a way to hell from the town of destruction as well as from the gates of heaven. That's the covenant of works. It doesn't save us. But David has a better covenant. Yet he has made with me an everlasting covenant. It's unbreakable. It's unchangeable. It's everlasting. We need things, my dear friends, which are everlasting. You seek things which are only for a short time. You seek money. You seek success. You seek a lot of things. But it's not staying. You need unchangeable, everlasting treasures. The treasures of the covenant of grace. And the sign of it is on your forehead. The sign and the seal by which the Lord wants to encourage you. Seek it. Seek me as young as you are. Seek me early. Seek me now. But if you deny, if you refuse,
then your destruction shall be divorced. The children of the kingdom shall be cast out. David not. He is included in the bundle of life. He has made with me an everlasting covenant. It's a very beautiful covenant. In the covenant of grace, you need nothing to do. Everything is done. In the covenant of grace, you need not to be it worthy. You need to deserve it. You need not to merit it. It's not a covenant of merits. It's a covenant of grace. That covenants find his roots in the eternal counsel of God, in the eternal love of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And it's grace, grace, grace only. So nobody is excluded. Nobody can say, I am too bad. I am too sinful. Nobody. For it's only grace. It doesn't matter what you are. It doesn't matter in that sense what you did. When you are come to Christ, you're saved by this covenant. For that's what the Lord promised in this beautiful covenant. I promise salvation for everyone who is coming to the Savior. All salvation is only in my beloved Son. Hear him! Hear him! That's what the Father is saying about this covenant. All my delight, all my salvation is in my beloved Son. Hear him, sinner. And he promised everything, all what you need. He promised forgiveness. He promised true peace. He promised eternal life. He promised eternal happiness. All what you need for salvation is in Christ, the blessed Savior. And it's all grace. And the Lord is calling, come unto me, all you are heavy laden and burdened. Come unto me, as long the gospel is preached, and the door of grace is open, and the treasures of the covenant are spreaded and given unto sinners. In that time we live now, but it's not long. Sometimes you go in town, you want to buy something, but all the doors are closed. The time is gone. Everything is closed. The market is open. All ye thirsty, come to the waters. All you don't have nothing, come eat the bread of life. But there comes a time, my friend, that the market is closed and that it is too late. I often think about this word. One of the most terrible words in hell will be too late, too late. It was offered to me. Christ was offered to me. Grace was offered to me. The covenant of grace was sealed as a sign on my forehead. But I didn't accept that. I didn't want that. I despised it. That will be endless terrible. For that's the other side. The children of the covenant shall be cast out. Be warned, my dear flock, my young people. Seek ye the Lord in the way of grace. And therefore it's so possible. Not with you, but with God. In the covenant of grace, the Lord promised everything, but he does everything. I mentioned already, we have always the idea, and that's very deep rooted in every man's heart, I have something to do, but you have nothing to do. All what you do is sin. Yes, but I pray, Pastor, is that not good? No. But I go to the church and hear the gospel, is that not good? I fear that in the church more sins are committed than outside. The most terrible sin church people can do, and they do it often, is to stay in their unbelief and to reject Christ. So when we build our house of salvation on what we do and try to do, we are building on sand. You must go a totally different way. The way of grace. The Lord Jesus does everything.
It is finished. That's the root, that's the foundation of the covenant of grace. It is finished. And what is faith? To rest, not to work. To rest in Christ only. Let him do all the work. Give him that honor. Lord, all what I do is only sin. But what thou hast done and still is doing, that's my hope. That's my trust. My house not soul is God, but yet he has made me. He has provided for me a perfect Savior who does everything, who did everything. Only he believes, who believes and not works, is saved. And the Lord in this covenant, he gives everything, friends. He gives everything. Be a beggar at the throne of grace. You have nothing. You have nothing but sin, but a lost life and a hard heart. You cannot save yourself. You must not try to do that. But you must look upon that blessed Savior. Lord, save my soul. He's so willing. He's so mighty. Oh, that the Lord may open your eyes for that. How mighty, how willing, how perfect Christ is to save you. That you believe in him now. For that's the hope and the salvation of David. Not anything in himself. Not anything of himself. But only that wonderful covenant by which the Lord promises and gives and works everything.
For the Lord Jesus has also merited the Holy Spirit, you know. And that Holy Spirit is going out and working by the Word. And he will come in your heart and show you yourself and reveals you Christ and give rest in your soul so that you may have Sabbath rest. I will give you rest. Oh, beautiful covenant. In this covenant is all goodness, is all glory for the Lord only, is everything focused on the goal.
What's the goal? Not you, not I, not David. But the goal is the glorification of God in all his attributes. My Lord, I shall glorify thee into all eternity. It's so well ordered. Everything is on his place. And everything is focused on the goal. Everything. And everything must work to that goal. Ordered in all things. And it is so sure.
Of course, as long as we live, we shall be tempted. As long as we are here in the wilderness, the enemies of our soul will come to take away our peace, to take away our trust, but they never shall succeed. And David himself is such a beautiful example. Our third thought, the delight, the desire in this covenant when we were singing this beautiful psalm, I must think about the relation between Psalm 42 and our portion. Then David was admonishing himself, "Hope thou in God, the God of thy salvation. Hope, and thy God will surely send relief." He was admonishing himself when he was so cast down. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." And here we see at the end of his life the full reality. When he was in struggle, in temptation, so often cast down, so often admonishing himself, "Hope in God, look on God, trust in God, my soul. Why are you cast down so much? And now it's all away." He clearly sees the beauty of the covenant of grace, and he has such a delight in it, and such a desire. And so he confessed, "For this is all my salvation, that everlasting covenant of grace. This is all my salvation. Outside this covenant, there is no hope, no life, nothing." And what is such a beautiful word in this expression? What do you think, children? David is not confessing that's true too, "For this is all salvation." But he confessed, "This is all my salvation." You can see a very beautiful house, and you can say, "Happy people who have such a nice house." But when you cannot say, "It's my house," you have nothing. What makes this last moment so precious? The personal application of all the treasures of the covenant of grace to his own soul. "Blessed be the hungry and thirsty after righteousness." A man who is hungry, he wants to eat. He cannot say, "It's delicious food, delicious. It's healthy." That's true. But he says, "I must eat it." A man who is thirsty cannot be satisfied with water, but he must drink it. My food, my water, my Savior, my salvation. That's the great difference. Christ must not stay outside you, so that you can say, "Christ is a precious Savior." Yes, he is. But you must be able to say, "Christ is my Savior. I must eat the bread of life myself. Then I can enjoy it. Then I feel the taste. Then I feel the power. Then I'm happy." That's the case here. That's the case of true faith. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after Christ, for he is our righteousness. They will be satisfied. Do you see how God fulfills his promise faithfully? David is satisfied. All my salvation. He has such a delight. He has such a sweet taste of the grace of God. He is so happy in the sight of that. So that makes us wholly jealous. For the God of David is still the same. And the Savior of David is still the same. And he is so worthy to be trusted. He is so worthy to be embraced. He is so worthy that you believe in him, that you trust in him. And let this example make you wholly jealous, and let you see how possible it is from the sight of God to save you
even the chief of sinners. My house not so by God, but in this precious covenant is all my salvation and all my desire. The service of God is a service of delight.
Yes. In the world, people seek entertainment. They have their pleasures, isn't it? My young people, where do you seek your pleasures? What do you enjoy? Did you ever have delight in God? People of God, you know what I mean. Is there a greater delight than to feel the loving kindness of God in Christ? Is there a greater pleasure on earth when the Lord takes away the sins of your conscience and he fills your heart with peace and grace? Is there greater delight than when you receive the foretaste of heavenly glory and you cannot wait to see your Lord? That is the delight of God's people. They have a delight in God. They have a delight in the Savior. They have a delight in the work of the Holy Spirit. They have a delight in the people of God. They have a delight in the service of God. They have a delight in the day of God. God is their delight. It's not a burden. It's a delight to serve the Lord, to know the Lord, to belong to the Lord. Nobody can give you so much pleasure. Nobody can fill your heart with so wonderful joy than the Lord himself, even in the view of death. That's what you see here. In this precious covenant is all my desire, all my salvation, although he make it not so grow. It's not yet ready. It's not yet come. When David died, Christ had to come still. The sacrifice has not been there. It was showed by all the sacrifices, but it was not Christ himself, you know. And when our faith is true, we must always Christ himself in his fullness. And now we live so many years thereafter. And it's grown already. It's greater than in the time of David. Although he make it not to grow. But it grows to perfectness. It's not so yet visible in David's days. But we live in other days. We live in the last days. We live in the days after the crucifixion, death, and resurrection, and ascension of the Lord Jesus. We live in the days of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We live in such beautiful days. Days of salvation for all the nations. And the Lord is gathering his flock. And the covenant of grace is doing its work. He says, and the covenant of grace is growing, growing, growing to its fullness. And within short time, the church is full. And the number of elected ones is full. And the body of Christ is perfect. And then the fullness and the beauty and the glory of this covenant shall be revealed eternally to all God's true people. David, happy man. He's at the end. And we soon come to the end. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet your God? Is your hope and trust in Christ only, and in this everlasting covenant, then you are happy. So you have to confess, my life, my house, not so is God. But in that eternal covenant is all your perfection, and all your sureness, and all your salvation. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved. Amen. Let's thank and pray now. Oh dear Lord, we cannot say, cannot utter all the fullness, the beauty, and the glory of this precious covenant. Let it come. Let it grow in our hearts and life, so that all our salvation and all our desire is in it. And we by grace are united with David and with all thy true children. Lord, pardon all our sins in speaking and listening. Go with us to our homes and give us the word in our hearts, that we shall not be forgettable hearers, but that we all shall seek thee, the living God, in the way of grace. Help us in our daily work, O Lord. Make us faithful as the angels in heaven. And give that thy name shall not be blasphemed because us, but that thy name may be glorified, and that we may win other creatures for thy service of delight. O Lord, we thank thee for all thy goodness. Hear us for Christ's sake. Amen.